to be able to see. And it is when I work the works of the one who sent me, that they are able to do that. Just like I'm about to do now. This is not a guy like you and me. This is not a guy like you and me. This is not how we think. This is a guy who thinks with the end in mind all the time. Naturally, we try not to do that. But this is a guy, if you want to call him a guy, who thinks with the end in mind all the time. I don't know if you've ever known someone who actually knew ahead of time that they were going to die soon. Have you ever known anybody like that? You ever known anybody that actually had a little bit of a warning? Like maybe they went and saw a doctor and they said, you have, 3 months or 6 months, or you have a year left, or you have stage 5.5 cancer, which isn't real. I don't think that's a real thing. I think there's only 4. But, you are going to die. If you know someone who has had that realization, you know firsthand it changes you, doesn't it? It made them different and very quickly. Because when you are very, very aware that you have an end and it's coming up soon, all of a sudden everything's different. All of a sudden everything you do is very intentional. Every phone call you make, every message you send, everything that you choose to write down to leave behind for other people, every place that you choose to go and attend something, every time you have an opportunity, you weigh it very, very carefully. And you weigh it differently than you did before because you're so aware. You have a laser focus on what you actually think is important. Clears away the fog, clears away the clouds. That's how Jesus lived every moment of his ministry. But there's something I want you to see. He says, yeah, the buzzer's going to go off, and there's something we just can't miss. The word. We must work the works of him who sent me. We must do this. I know later it says, I'm the light of the world. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But he doesn't start out with, I must work the works. He said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when nobody's going to be able to work. We. That's Jesus and you and me. That's we, right? Jesus and you and me. We are meant to put a dent in the world. We have a mission. We have something to lock onto with laser-like focus. There's a work. There's a work to do. There are some works of the one who sent us. And as long as we're here, we got to do them while we're here. It's a now thing. It's not a later thing. It's a now thing. And it's not just a selfish reason either. I'm going to tell you, and I think you can believe this. Right now, there is somebody who is absolutely counting on you to work some works of the one who sent you. You have a deadline on your life, and so does everybody else. How long do they have? How long do you have, but how long do they have? Think about that for a moment. There is somebody, think about this, even if you don't quite believe this, I'm going to tell you this ahead of time, so when you come to a point and you can believe it, then you can go, oh, I remember he said that, now it makes all this sense. Okay, I'm telling you this ahead of time. There is somebody out there right now that absolutely needs for someone to have the gall to pray for them about whatever their medical emergency is. There is somebody that needs to see somebody with enough crazy, ridiculous, unbelievable bravery to just share some of what God has done in their lives with them so that they can catch a glimpse, so that they can see some of what Jesus and the Father is really all about. There's somebody out there that actually needs someone. They need to see someone invite them into your lives. There's absolutely somebody out there that needs to see somebody, confront them because they just care too much to let it go anymore. They need to see somebody forgive them. They need to see somebody be patient with them. They need to see somebody care so much that they'd be willing to put themselves out there, even though it's kind of a risk. They need to see somebody love them with a passionate love, the kind that chases people down and shakes them up and says, "Look, I love you too much to let you go any longer like this. Would you please come home?" That's not the love of Barney the purple dinosaur. That's the love of Jesus. That's a passionate love. That's a love you can't mess around with. When I was a kid growing up, I thought, man, oh, my family's the worst. Oh my gosh. They're just, oh. They didn't do a lot of the things that I wanted to see. You know, of course, when you're a kid, you don't exactly know everything that ought to be, you know, happening that's really love. But you have some ideas, and most of your ideas are around, you know, what you want done for you and where you'd like to go and all that kind of stuff. And there was a while when I was convinced that my dad didn't really love me very much. I was just a kid. You know, I was like 12, 13, whatever. I was convinced he didn't really love me very much. And you know what? I'm sure, you know what? My dad probably could have learned a lot of things and done a lot of things better. You know what? Welcome to humanity, okay? If you got perfect parents, raise your hand. Look, nobody raised their hand. So I... and my dad always had something for us to do. Always had something for us kids to do. There's no like aimless time, you know. You know, maybe he took a little far. I don't. You know what? I would have loved to have done some, you know, nice things and social, you know, whatever. But he always had something for us to do. And he was always saying things like, "We need to keep you kids busy. That's the key. That's the trick. We need to keep you kids busy." I said, "Okay. Well, you know, what do? You go along with it." But I just wondered, you know, come on. Is this love? And I realized there was, I mean, it took me a long time. I realized there was something in it. And maybe it wasn't perfect, like I said. But it was very important to him. Get this. Men of the world, get this. He saw his responsibility as a father as this. I stand here to make sure that stupid things don't happen. You think about that for a second. Part of my job with people that I care about is I make sure stupid doesn't happen. Kids aren't going to be caught, you know, shoplifting off in some place in the mall where they're left off. You know, my kids aren't going to be, you know, found down the road somewhere messing around with drugs with some other friends that I don't know about. My kids aren't going to, you know, I'm going to know where my kids are. I'm going to know what they're doing. I'm going to know who they're doing them with. And there's going to be a purpose. And you know what? Some of that stuck. I find myself in my old, gosh, love is different than I thought it was. I'm like, wow, as a parent, you know what? I've got like two philosophies. I'm just going to tell you one. One of mine is I make sure stupid things don't happen. Ahead of time, you know, like that's part of my job. I'm dead. Like, yeah, I got to make sure, because if I don't do my job, something stupid might happen. And I care too much about my wife and my kids. I can't let stupid happen. So I have to be on the ball. I have to be responsible. I have to check up on things and know what's happening and make phone calls and where were you? You know, I have to do those things. Sometimes there's more to love than we imagined, and it takes us a while. For things to catch up, some lessons to catch up. But no matter what kind of love you believe in, no matter what kind of works that you believe God has given you to do, all of us can get sidetracked. All of us can get sidetracked. I don't care how long you've been a church person or a Christian or a follower or some more, you know, hybrid in between. I don't care if, you know, I don't care if you're a hippie. I don't care if you're a liberal. I don't care if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter who you are. It's easy to get lost in the weeds of the small things in life. And what I have to tell you is that this has been a thing forever. This has been a problem forever. In fact, there's a guy, he's really old, he's really dead too. His name is Solomon. I'm gonna take you to him. Listen, wisdom agrees with me today. Solomon was revered by all, not just as the wisest king at the time, but maybe the wisest person in all of the earth, all of the known earth, okay? And this is something that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:2. He said, it is better to go to a house of mourning. That's where people are very, very sad because someone has just passed. Okay, it's better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting where they're having a party and things are good. Because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart. The world says, don't think about death. Don't think about death. It's sad. You're going to waste your time being sad, and the clock is ticking. So enjoy yourself as much as possible. Wisdom disagrees. This is what Solomon said. He said, it is really, really good. It is really, really good. Hear me, church. It is really, really good for us to live with the end in mind. Because it's going to save you from spending precious time on things that you will regret later when you're laying in your deathbed, if you have the luxury of even having a deathbed, because most of us don't expect when it's our time. See, Solomon wanted, as he was getting in his old age, Solomon had an old age, and he got to be quite old. In his old age, knowing he was going to pass at some point soon, it's not avoidable. He said, okay, we better get some of this down. All this stuff, all this wisdom I've got down, better get it collected somewhere so that it can benefit people for generations after. And knowing this, Solomon knew that someday you are going to be in your deathbed. And chances are good, you're not going to be thinking, I wish I just watched a little more YouTube. I wish I just had a little more me time. You know, I wish I'd been better looking. I wish I'd lost weight quicker. You know, I wish I had had a nicer place. I wish I'd had a better house, a better car. Solomon knew. It's not even going to be remotely on your mind when that awareness hits you. This is my time. I have buried 4 people personally in my life. I've buried them. And for the most part, they had some sense that their time was coming and soon. And I saw the same thing happen in all of them. A lot of the stuff they used to spend their mental time on didn't matter anymore. They're just thinking about, what am I going to leave behind me? And I'm sad to say, there was some regret. And to watch someone in regret is about the saddest thing you can imagine. When a person gets to a point where they say, my time's up. I wish I had done more to help that person. I wish I had done more to talk about that thing with my kids earlier. I wish I had shared my story with that one person. It might have made the difference. I wish I had tried to help them when I had the chance. I wish I would have done something. I wish I would have loved that person more. I wish I would have been more aware. I wish I would have listened to that person to see what they actually needed from me instead of just charging through and doing what I wanted to do. I wish I'd been there. I wish I'd made the time. I wish I hadn't passed that person by. over and over. But too late. That's a really sad moment in a person's life. Solomon said, let's avoid that. There's nothing like being able to say, you know what, if today is my day, I think I've been doing the things that I was supposed to be doing. I think I've been doing the things God intended for me to do with my life. I think when I see him, I mean, I know I didn't do everything quite right. I know he'll be able to show me where I went wrong. I know, but I know that when I go to meet him, it's going to be, well done, son. Well done, daughter. Well done. I gave you things to do and you saw through all the nonsense. You saw through all the distraction. You saw through all that stuff. You made me proud. What was important to me was important to you, and I love that. I love that. That's what we're going to care about. That's what we're going to want to hear. That's what we're going to be thinking about in that moment. Can you imagine that moment for a second? I know it's kind of scary to some. I know, but just power through it for a second. Imagine that moment was now. Standing in front of a door, opening in front of you, knowing that God was on the other side of it. I think you'll only think about one thing. God, I hope I did what you intended for me. I hope I did the right thing. I hope I was where I was supposed to be. I hope. You want to walk into that with confidence. You don't want to be hanging on for a life that you can't keep. Jesus said, we got to work the works of him while it's day because night is coming. And we should never forget that. It is good for us to remember. It is good for us to read obituaries sometimes. It's good for us to go to a memorial service. It's good for us to talk with our parents about estate planning and what we're going to do after they're gone. It's good for us to talk about taking care of us in our old age and making plans. It's good for us to let ourselves dwell on those things because your life is going to be given. Whether you choose to give it or not, we all have a deadline to meet, and we're going to meet it, whether we are ready or not. Let's live ready. Let's be found doing the works, working the works of him who sent us. That's the kind of thinking that makes us dangerous. What if there is somebody right now? I actually believe there is, but you can just ask this what if question as though it's a possibility only. What if there is somebody in your life right now that needs, wants, wishes they could see God in their situation? What if they're just waiting to be able to see? They want some sort of a sign from God. God, show me you love me because I haven't seen a whole lot of love up to this point in my life. Show me something different. What if you've got somebody right now that is saying to themselves, I don't know if this is worth it anymore. I try to hang on. I try to think of my kids or my friends or my parents or whatever it is. I try to think of my responsibility, but I don't know. What if there's just nothing after this is all over? Is it worth it? There's somebody in your sphere right now who is absolutely counting on you to work the works right now. Work the works of the one who sent you. To love like Jesus loved you right now. And the question is, are you ready to step up to the plate? I'm going to leave you with that thought. And I'm going to pray for you right now. And I understand that there comes a point for all of us that we think, you know what, I've gotten a little distracted. I've gotten a little off course. You know, I started well, but I kind of, stuff happens and you get, your mind goes places and life takes its course and whatever. I understand that we all can reach a point like that. And so what I want to do is pray for you. But I also want to pray for you if you are someone who lives in fear. If you are someone who lives in fear, I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm just going to pray for you. And I want you to think about what I prayed about here today. And I want you to come back next week. So listen. Join me. Lord Jesus, I ask you on the behalf of this people, myself and these people, we ask you, God, help us stay the course. Help us have laser-like focus for the things that matter. Help us to live ready. Help us to live in peace, knowing that wherever you find us when our deadline comes, we were ready. Let us have that confidence, God. Inspire us, motivate us, fire us up. Let us be like hot charcoal, hot coals, hot, 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 and steady, not just a flash in the pan, Lord. Let our spirit be equipped to love as you have loved others. And I ask, Lord, make us a danger. Make us a threat to the way the things are in this world. That's just as troubling as when you first arrived, Lord. I just ask, make us a danger. Make this church a danger to the way things are. Make us an impact. Make us fruitful. Make us powerful in love. And I pray, Lord. And I pray for that person this morning that is unsure, that is tired, that is tired, that is worried, that is fearful. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would do something, that you would use something to speak directly to that person this morning to reassure them that you are, in fact, the authority that you say that you were, Lord. You actually do love the way that the Father loves. The way that you love can be used to see what God is like. I pray that for that person this morning, that something would happen today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Listen, number one, come back next week. But number two, we have a baptism next week. But there is a young man who has chosen to be baptized, wants to be baptized, and came and talked to me and said, hey, I'm going to be leaving. I'm not going to be here. Could I do this thing kind of early? So I said, of course we can. So we're going to go out to the Route 3 boat launch just north of the city, just north of the bridge out here, at 12 o'clock. And if anybody would like to join us to be a witness to that, we want to welcome you and invite you just to be a part of that for him. It's quite a step that he's chosen, so we want to invite you out for that. So 12 o'clock, just north of the city, on the right-hand side of Route 3, the Route 3 boat launch, if you want to come out there, you're all welcome. It won't take long, just be a few minutes, but we welcome you. So we have refreshments in the back. If you've just joined us for the first time this morning, I hope that you catch up with us there. I'd like to meet and greet with you. And prayer, come on up. I'm here for you as always.